Mourners and mockers. I'm excited about doing this here today. Thank you, Pastor Ed, for your willingness. I had just put this all together, and when we were talking, I mentioned I've just put this. So this is the first time ever I'm teaching this seminar. So in case there's a typo or a scripture reference that's a verse off, don't feel bad. Come and share it with me. I'm a teacher. I want to get it fine-tuned. All right? It's funny because we were singing this morning, and my son says, Dad, there's one typo in that chorus. He's only 10 and he's already picking up. He's got the genes, you know. It's like, so anyway. So I would be happy to hear from you. Please make a notation. Say, Andrew, there's a mistake here. Even if it's in your student notes. I found one already. I've made the correction. But let's see if you catch it while we go through. There's one typo in your student notes. Okay. This seminar is dealing with scorners and mockers. And before I embark on the first scripture, as I kept reviewing this again and again, because the first time I'm ever doing this, it struck me, Andrew, you have behaved like this sometimes. So lest you think I've come here with a mace and a club to clobber you over the head, I have been guilty, prayerfully, hopefully not of all, but in areas here and there in my own behavior. So it was a very good attitude check for me. So I needed to say that to you this morning, unless you thought, who is this guy coming and talking down his nose at us, you know? But so there will be areas for every single one of us, I believe, to repent in, as I have already had opportunity to. But if it really starts to hit us in many areas, then we need to really take some action. Amen? So cast out the scorner. It has been said that the most quoted verse in the Bible, particularly by the world, is not John 3:16. But it's the scripture where Jesus says, judge not lest you be judged. And the world loves to use that. It's like, who are you passing judgment over me? Unfortunately, even in the body of Christ, many times we've taken that position. Who are you to judge me? Now you'll be surprised what the Word of God says. We are to judge. I don't plan on swallowing everything you say. Check it out with the Bible. In fact, my dad said this to us 8 sons in the family, and I've already said it to our son. If dad tells you something that does not line up with this Word of God, call me a liar to my face. As a husband or as a father or a mother, do you have the courage to tell your kids that? That will prove if you really believe that the Word of this is truly the living Word of God. I've already said that many times to my son. Well, you can be kind, son, and tell me I'm off the wall first. But if I insist, then dad, you're lying. Because the Word of God is true. Today, my dad's in heaven. I don't have him to counsel me, but I got the Word of God to counsel me. Amen. Lord Alfred Tennyson said in his poem, The Brook, for men may come and men may go, but I go on forever. This Word of God goes on forever. Amen? Amen. So now, cast out the scorner. Scripture says, cast out the scorner. Throw him out. The Roman Catholics use a word called excommunication. Get rid of him. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. Proverbs 22:10. It's in our Bibles. In fact, Pastor Ed said he did like 27 weeks in Proverbs. I'm sure you came across this somewhere. Cast out the scorner and contention will go out. Yes, it's only when you do that that strife and reproach shall cease. Now the question is, which person or individuals come under this category of scorner? One scorner in a church or Christian organization, just one scorner in the group, can make the place like an armed camp, like a battleground. You're not far from Gettysburg here, are we?
No.
One scorner can turn New York into a Lebanon into a Gettysburg. The church or group may be filled with contention and strife, and it may appear that only a mighty miracle of God can save the work. It may appear that only a mighty miracle of God can save the work, but many times casting out one scorner can immediately restore peace and harmony. What's our challenge in the body of Christ today as it has evolved, particularly in the softer, genteel Western culture? We have been caught up, oh, but Where is love? We have to love the brethren. What about grace? And we have become masters at dispensing a cheap and easy, greasy grace. I'll say that again. In our soft, genteel Western society and culture, we have become masters at dispensing a cheap and easy, greasy grace. Now, we're not talking about grace, the grace of God for salvation. We don't save anyone. God does the saving. As far as when it comes to casting out this kind of spirit from the church, many times casting out one scorner can immediately restore peace and harmony to the body of Christ, to the church, to that group. The problem is identifying the scorner. And having identified the person, then we need to have the courage to put him. We're just using the, you know, him, or it can be a lady, him or her, out, if necessary. So there's two parts. Identifying, which many times I believe we have been able to do that. But the challenge comes now, how to put the person out. Without ruffling other people's feathers. Without hurting the rest of the flock, because they may not understand. Trust me, Scripture has more to say about the rest of them. Identifying the scorner. You see, there's 9 fruit of the Spirit, 9 gifts of the Spirit. Right? In fact, you'll see this in one of my books. I deal with this. We hear a lot about the 9 gifts of the Spirit in our spiritual churches. I've coined a new word for us folk. Instead of saying Pentecostal and charismatic, I coined a word called Caricostal. So it combines, and so nobody escapes here. So I'm talking to all Caricostals. Of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, we've heard of them. We've separated them into 3 groups of 3 each. But there's one gift that we hear probably the least about, in my, I hesitate to say opinion, because it's been said that opinions are like armpits. Everyone has them and they all stink. From my perspective, there's one of the 9 gifts that we hardly ever hear about. And it's the gift of the discerning of spirits. Now, I'm not talking about generic discernment. Everybody has some generic discernment. That's why I like spicy food and maybe you like bland food. That's our taste buds discernment. Okay? Certain personality types we get along with together. That's discernment. Okay? But the gift of the discerning of spirits. Who knows what spirit ye are of? That gift we hardly hear about. And this is where the black and white type of personalities suffer a lot of heartburn. Because we can see things and we can't believe it's being tolerated. There aren't there any black and white personality types here? Am I the only one?
No.
So, identifying the scorner comes quicker to the person who's operating in the gift of the discerning of spirits. And that's a whole chapter I've entitled here in this book as to the, you know, if only we had more fathers and mothers in the body of Christ operating like this, they would perceive this and bring it to the leadership. Or if the leadership is lacking in that area, that is. But sometimes it's in the leadership, and then they got to deal with soft namby-pambies on the other side of the fence who get hurt. How can you do such a thing? So stay with us through these 2 sessions today. Are you there with me?
Yeah.
All right. So identifying comes easier to those who are operating in the gift of the discerning of spirits. Maybe we don't want to hear about the operation of the gift. We want all about tongues and interpretation and prophecy and word of wisdom and word of knowledge and healings and miracles. But don't touch the discerning of spirits. So, we need to identify the scorner and then have the courage to put him out. It's not just enough to know who's who. A scorner can be a man or a woman. So ladies can actually heave a sigh of relief because we usually tag them, Jezebel spirit. But there's also those, Absalom spirit. In the church, in the body of Christ, both those names are from the Bible, you know, Jezebel, Absalom. One was eaten by dogs, the other was hanging from a tree by his long hair. A scorner can be a man or a woman, but hereafter we will use the pronoun him just to be, we understand ladies are not being excluded when we refer to the term scorner or mocker. The word scorner or scoffer. Is it getting too hot already? No. No, the word scorner or scoffer, as used in the Bible, means to make mouths at. You know, when we were kids, we made these mischievous faces at each other, you know. But it's more from the heart, with your words, with your attitude, to speak ill of, to make mouths at someone, to scoff at them, to interpret on their behalf. Or we say in American politics, put your spin on it. To interpret, to intercede, to act like you're the one communicating the message, and then you give it your spin. To be an ambassador, or really it means to pose as the ambassador, representative. To have in derision, inside your heart, you're laughing at the person. We've never been guilty of that, have we? To be a mocker, to scorn somebody, to speak scornfully of them, or maybe you say, I've never been guilty of that, but yeah, you may have thought scornfully about someone. Now remember, I started by saying, I have been guilty many times in certain parts of this. So let this be a spiritual chiropractic adjustment for each, every one of us. And also to be a teacher. This one really hits me because that's my calling. I'm a teacher. And it's a dangerous thing. Sometimes I've sat there thinking, can you believe that? I got nothing today. Because I thought in my mind I could have done a better job. I was sitting there and scorning the pastor. Oh, I went and shook his hand and said, God bless you, after he was finished. I've been guilty. Because this attitude, I could have done a much better job. Maybe I could have on the face of it. But that's exactly why God had me sitting there, because I had the wrong attitude. I wasn't worthy to minister the oracles of God with a scornful attitude. It doesn't take a lot of smarts. Oh, by the way, I figured out that God's a black and white person. You know, years ago, well, this is just me, not the Lord, but I. You notice the Apostle Paul said that a few times? You hardly catch me hearing, God said, God told me. Because God's always right, you know. I say, this is what I sense. And if it's right and if it's of God, you'll have a witness about it, don't worry. But this is just from me. You know, in the old days, we used to say when someone's really smart, you know, and we'd say like high IQ, or he's got a lot of gray matter, right? See, I figured just recently, I said, God's got to be black and white because he's got all the gray matter. So there's no gray area for him. And here's a thought as far as scorners and mockers. We say, well, okay, certain person has got a certain rotten attitude and they keep on acting that way. They keep on mouthing off against the pastor and the leadership of the church. But how can we put them out? Let me ask you something. Do you believe in God? You can talk to me now. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in the God of the Bible? So then it's safe to assume we believe in the same God? I ask you a question. How could this living God ever cast anybody into hell on Judgment Day? I'll say that again. How could this great, wonderful, awesome, living, loving, gracious God cast anyone into hell on Judgment Day? Do you believe there's a hell? Now that's where your theology really has to get questioned. Because, you know, certain denominations or cults don't believe in hell. They also serve, worship a God who believes in a greasy grace. Yeah, some Caracostas. I believe in the God of the Bible. And this Bible says on that day, these people who have rejected Jesus are going to be cast into a lake of fire, which is forever and ever and ever. We're only talking about getting somebody out of the church just for a few years of their earthly life. It's not such a hard thing to do. Is this somewhat revolutionary, my friends? In fact, by doing that, you're probably doing the person a great favor. They'll end up like dry bones for about 3 months on a pile of dry bones and then realize, you know what? I needed that kick in the pants. I need to get things sorted out in my life. Even if they never come back here, they might end up going somewhere else, and then God would have had the chance to sort that junk out of their life, to get it out of their lives. Thanks to a body that had the discerning of spirits to figure out, this is not the spirit we need in this place, and secondly, here's your walking ticket, my friend. Of course, you know, there's the steps in Matthew 18 to go through. So it doesn't take a lot of intelligence to recognize an overt scorner. I've been in a church with a guy after I was finished speaking in Australia one time. Out in the parking lot, he was shouting and swearing at the pastor. Because I was the guest speaker, I kind of came, he started swearing at me too. I thought, oh, well. So that's an overt scorner. It's easy to tell someone like that who's a bit off their rocker, you know, who openly criticizes, mocks and challenges the leadership. Or at the annual board meeting, this kind of person, let me tell you what they do. Like some churches, depends on how your constitution is written up. I know at certain churches here in the States, it says in order to be on the active membership roll, you should have been through the membership class and you know you get your certificate or whatever it is, that's fine. But then you need to be in attendance at least once in 6 months. So this one character, which is actually a compliment to use that word to describe him, would come to church at least once in 6 months. So legally he could never be struck off the membership. Forget about tithing, the farthest thing from his mind. But legally he's a member. So he makes sure he's at the annual general body meeting. And he would stand up and berate the leadership loud out there in public in front of all the members every year. And he considered himself the official thorn in the flesh of the church. Now that's an overt scorner. You don't need much gray matter to work that one out. So an overt scorner openly criticizes, mocks, challenges the leadership. Group leaders and their followers have no difficulty recognizing this kind of troublemaker immediately and blocking and or barring him from services. Another thing an overt scorner would do, and I've seen this, we've been in, you know, 27 countries, so many churches. I was born and bred in Pentecost. You know, I learned to say Jesus before I learned to say Mama. So I am a Caricostal true blue and through and through. This one guy, when it was, you know, just after the worship in our churches, you know, there's an opportunity. If you sense you have a word from the Lord, he comes and asks the pastor for the mic, and pastor graciously let him have it, and he stands up and he's hammering everybody, including the pastor, over the microphone and saying it's a word from God. So it's not difficult. I'm sure you never had anyone like that here. It's not difficult. You know, I had a case where then the pastor had to say, I'm sorry, and ask for the mic back in public. And he said, I won't. So he had to get the deacons to come up and take the mic. And he said, I'm not going. He sat there in front. And so they had to carry him out of the church. You thought Living Word Ministries was bad. You ain't seen nothing yet. I was there. It's a church of over 1,000 people, by the way. In case you thought you only had flakes in smaller churches. They're ubiquitous. That word means everywhere you go, you'll find them. It has been said that even in a cell group, a home cell group, when you set up the chairs, you know, you got the leader, the greeter, the snack person, the teacher, the sharer, whatever, and there's one called EGR. One chair is titled EGR. That person, that stands for extra grace required. I enjoy sharing here. You're a good bunch of people. I can really let you have it. No, I can really share my heart and thank you for your openness to this. It's my first time, so it's an important, it's fresh, straight from the heaven, praise God. So it's easy to recognize this kind of troublemaker and even block them and bar them. You know what another guy did? Church parking lot. It would be very much like the YFC park. You have handicapped spots parking, right? He would purposely, he's an able-bodied guy, purposely park his car in the church handicapped spot. And do you know what? Because it was a church facility, legally you could not tow his car away. There was some legal clause, he knew about it. But if it was a government facility, you'd get a ticket. So he worked out, I don't know if the rules have changed in the last decade or so. They've changed? Oh good, praise God. But these are the ways, that's why we call such people weasels. They weasel their way in and out of the system. So it's easy to block an overt scorner or mocker. But the problem is that the most dangerous type of scorner works in a covert manner. Covertly. Secretly. Behind closed doors. One-on-one, whispering in the corner, even in the back of the church or in the parking lot. Undermining the authority of the group leader, and also taking it upon themselves to wrongly interpret what the leader said, taught, preached, or spoke. This type of scorner, the covert, secretive, is hidden behind a cloak of secrecy. And to the naive, let's face it, there is a percentage of folk in the body who are very trusting. Those are precious folk. And they can get lured away and drug in by this kind of a person. Influenced to the naive, who look only at outward appearances, this kind of covert scorner can appear to be on the outside the most loyal, active, and even spiritual church member. So you think, yeah, this is really a man or woman of God. Let me give you a true incident here. This one gentleman, some years back, at least it was in this continent, I can say that much. I mean, I can't tell you if it was in Australia, here, South Pacific. But he started coming to visit us in our home regularly. And very soft-spoken guy, quite the opposite of my personality, but it doesn't matter, that just happened to be his personality. Then very gently, I'm over to have a cup of tea, sit down, join us for dinner, a single gentleman. And he calmly let me know that he wakes up at 4:30 every morning to seek God. Guess what image that planted in my brain? Man, this guy is a very godly man. I still don't get up at 4:30. But I happen to be a night owl. I could be praying at 1:30 in the morning, you know. So, but that, I'm not going to, you know, come out, I pray from this. But gently snuck it in. I wake up at 4:30 in the morning. I'm thinking, wow, this is like 3 hours. Powerball, you know, time alone with God. So it plants the seed that this guy is more spiritual than my pastor. He is more spiritual than the elders of the church. But so gently snuck it in, and that got me. It hooked me for a little while. And finally I got to realize this was just, I'm not saying he doesn't get up at 4:30, but who he prays to, I'm not exactly sure. No, that's just, but the spirit, it's after some months it began to dawn on me. He was trying to make me his follower, and he was trying to subtly become my guru. He still goes to church. I finally had to go to him one-on-one, which is my personality type, and say, you know, this is my perception. So that day, he doesn't talk to me. Some kind of guru he would be if he's excommunicated me. Because I had the courage to go lovingly one-on-one and say, the thing which you are doing is not good, brother. And I saw him. Again, he would corner, there was a certain lady, and he would go and talk to her one-on-one, and I knew in my spirit exactly, it was like that, trying to form his own pearl, you know, with another coating, and another coating, and another coating, but all the spider was doing was catching somebody else in his web. They might appear to be the most loyal, active, spiritual church member to you on the outside, even more spiritual than your pastor and elders. When it comes to marking and removing this type of scorner, unless the leader is clear, and I trust after this, by the end of the second session today, you'd be clear and plain as to who or what a scorner truly is, and what the Bible says to do about this kind of person. If we're not clear as leaders, then even though we discern who is a mocker or a scorner, guilt can come upon the leader for expulsion of such a person. So that's why we need to be clear. Okay, this is the person, this is the party operating like this, and now we need to expel them, but don't get on a guilt trip. And also, those who are simpler, or the more kinder, gentler believers, of which there's quite a percentage of, they can be hurt and say, how could the church do that? We are supposed to love people at any cost. Well, you got to read your whole Bible. We've also been called full gospel people, haven't we? Not part gospel people. So oftentimes when it is done, then there's misunderstanding among the body. If we examine the Hebrew definition of a scorner that was enumerated above, we can get a good picture of how a scorner operates in a body. He uses his mouth as the main instigator of trouble. Well, maybe today they might use email, you know. Except that with email you still leave a trail, an e-trail, not a paper trail, e-trail. But still it's the mouth. The scorner is a talker, and usually he talks regularly to the other members of the group or the congregation. But they pick on only certain, pardon my use of the term, suckers. Certain ones who they see, this is my prey. And they latch on. Actually, in biology, I just come back to me, because the first time, so the Spirit of God's putting this together for me, there's a certain fish called a sucker fish. Cyclostomes, it's coming back to me now. Round mouth fish. They actually will latch on to the side of another fish. And they've got like a rasping jaws. And they just, once they hook on, they just grind into it and suck the innards out. That fish is dead. Cyclostomes, round-mouthed, jawed sucker fish. Looking for just another sucker. They completely take your innards out, spiritually speaking, and they control you like a puppet on a string. The main goal of the conversation, when you, and now you can use this as a yardstick when you interact with folk, when you're involved in conversing with a scorner or mocker, the main goal of their conversation is to cast doubt on those in authority. Which tells you that invariably this person is not officially a staff person or officially the leader. They're trying to cast doubt on the leader and those in authority. This kind of scorner would never openly rebuke. We're talking about the covert scorner, remember? They would never openly rebuke or criticize a pastor or a leader, but he would say something like this. Here's a demo. You know, I support Maureen, we're just using this name for a leader. You know, I support Maureen, and I know that she's been anointed of God in some areas. See, I've highlighted the word some, but they sneak it under the rug. You know, I've been anointed of God in some areas, but I wonder if what you were saying this morning lines up with the word of God. After all, I mean, I'm not the pastor, but God showed me. Oh, what do you think? So they have belittled the leadership by saying, yeah, they're anointed in some areas. And of course we agree. I mean, nobody's got it all, right? But you know, then God has shown me, which means God didn't show them, but he gave the special insight to me. And here's the sucker fish caught onto your side, and the jaws are grating at you, pulling your innards out. What do you think? Now, how can you person to person, face to face, disagree with them? It's very hard to look at the person and say, get thee behind me, Satan. The scorner sets himself up as an ambassador or the leader when they are not the leader. And as an interpreter, listen, did you go and ask that person to give you a translation and interpretation of the message this morning? No. They come to you, latch on to you. They set themselves up as an ambassador or the leader, as an interpreter of all that is said and goes on in the church or body. I mean, you could just turn around and say, listen, who asked you for your opinion? This type of scorner thinks of himself as a teacher and usually is suffering from having an exalted spirit. Suffering. The problem is they think too highly of themselves. Has an exalted spirit. It's a funny thing. My wife and I know a couple in, I was going to say in Pennsylvania. We are in Pennsylvania. but he's a high school principal, public school. And he said he came across some group. Was it the Elks something? It doesn't matter. Like Lions, Rotary Club, whatever. Some of them are good. They do some good social things. But he got a letter to him, addressed to him as the principal of the school, from the leader of this group. And you know what his title was? What his signature was? Exalted Ruler. So ever since then, when we meet our friend, we say, hail, Exalted Ruler. That's like teasing him. But can you imagine? imagine you have some goons out there who are suffering from such a low self-image. I mean, even George Bush is called president. Okay, that's high enough. Exalted ruler. Next thing is Baal. A scorner usually thinks of himself as a teacher and usually has an exalted spirit. Thinks he knows more than the leadership. He may cleverly play the role of somebody who's not as spiritual, acts, pretends he's not as spiritual, but inside, in himself, he feels he is more spiritual. Now it's time to clarify something here. Okay, in fact, I'll put myself in the dog box. So say I'm part of Living Word Ministries. I come here on weekends, on Sundays, and here's Pastor Ed Gibson, who's a pastor. Let's say, okay, maybe I have more degrees than him. Maybe I have a few more smarts. Maybe I know some Greek and Hebrew that he might not know. Maybe I might even be a better teacher than him. But you know, the point is, God has not entrusted to Andrew the vision for Living Word Ministries. The one who will be able to hear most clearly from God as far as the vision and the direction for this congregation is Ed Gibson, not Andrew Taylor. The question is not who has more or less gray matter. We don't have to sit down and take an IQ test. Well, my IQ is 1-2 points more than yours. I should be the pastor. That's absurd. Why don't you try that with your boss at work? You'd be fired. And the fact is, you may have a higher IQ, couple points more, maybe 20 points more than your boss. So this is how the scorner and mocker comes, pretending on, you know, and you figure, yeah, this is a smart aleck. I mean, a smart guy. He's really a smart aleck, that's what it is. Poor aleck, must have been a guy named aleck. That's how the expression came about. There's no aleck here, is there? Yeah. So he may cleverly play the role of someone who's not as spiritual, but inside he feels he is more spiritual, and he somehow subtly gets that point across to you. This type of covert, undercover operator many times weasels himself into the position of an elder sometimes, or being very close to those. And you may not even have to be an elder. He says, well, I'm close to Pastor Ed and Wanda. In other words, I've got the ear, so listen to what I have to say. Can't you put two and two together? Works himself to being very close to those in leadership. He can be perceived by many in the congregation or the body to be an actual extension of the leadership. If you see the flow chart in the pastor's office, he doesn't exist there. But in the perception of the people's minds, well, he's like a leader in our church. Who told you that? No, he gave you that subtle impression himself. Now you understand, when I say himself, I mean himself or herself. Especially because this person's intelligent, is smart, and they can and usually do work very hard. They may be good at what they do. But just because you're doing things right doesn't mean you're doing the right thing. You catch that? Just because you're doing things right doesn't mean you're doing the right thing. Your heart can still be contaminated on the inside. It's important for every Christian leader to understand this subtle trick of the devil. I will extend that for every child of God. And it's interesting, I see a range of ages, so even the younger believers. This is a little eye-opening. It's like, okay, I need to be on the lookout. Be on guard, friend. To understand the subtle trick of the devil of placing scorners in our groups and churches. So that, why do we need to understand this? So that we will not be deceived into placing such a person into a leadership role. Beware that we do not end up putting such a person into the role of a leader. You know this old expression? It's easy to hire, hard to fire. It's easy to hire, hard to fire. There's so much fallout when you got to fire someone. So beware lest you inadvertently end up putting such a person in a leadership role just because they are smart, they're intelligent, they can communicate well, they know some Hebrew and Greek, and they come with a whole list of credentials. You've got to prove yourself here in the local church, my friend. We must recognize this type of person immediately in the same way that a shepherd marks a wolf immediately upon its approach so as to not to endanger any of his flock. Again, how can we recognize this without the operation of the gift of the discerning of spirits? So this is not just limited for the pastor and the elders today, it's for every believer. Lord, grow me in the area of the exercising of the gift of the discerning of spirits. Let me give you a quick real-life example again. I think it's in my first book now. Of the 8 boys in my family, 8 boys, 1 girl, poor thing. Hey, but hey, she never got any hand-me-downs. Right. I was the 7th boy in succession, pity my plight. Right. After me comes the only girl, so I was my parents' last disappointment. I kept trying and trying and trying for a girl. I thought, oh no, another boy. Well, finally, after me came the girl, then one more boy. What was my point now? Yes, the sibling immediately above me. He's still alive, he lives in Australia. He's a very affectionate kind of guy. And you know, you can have siblings like 2 peas in a pod, or they can be, to use an Australian expression, as different as chalk and cheese. You can have siblings who are very alike or just dissimilar. Now, we weren't twins, I mean, but the sibling just above me, he is an affectionate guy. My only sister after me is a very sentimental girl, and I'm neither of these. No. I mean, the sibling older than me, he'd come home from outside. Hello, my mama, how are you, mommy? Hug her, give her a kiss on the cheek, kiss her on the arms, and hug her and everything. I'd just come in from out, hi, mom. That's it. But you know, there were 2 times. About 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning, my mother had a heart attack. Whose bedside do you think she came to? I hardly ever went up to give her a hug and a kiss. But she knew, I'm going to Andrew's bedside. I'm simply saying, it doesn't have to work this way all the time. Sometimes an affectionate person can also be a dependable, reliable person. But don't judge a book by its cover. My mother knew better. So sometimes we think, oh, this person comes slobbering all over us and all, speaking us up to the skies. For all you know, they've got a knife waiting behind your back. At least I trust with me, what you see is what you got. That's it. I tell people, you know, if this is the worst you know about me, well, praise God, that's how bad I get. But beware the subtle, covert person. Speaks you up to the skies, flatters you, embellishes the lot. And we fall for it. Only to find to our dismay later. If a scorner has already gotten into your flock, Scripture is quite clear that you have to cast the scorner out. Where's that brother? I'll give you another scripture soon. Stay with me. It's already in your notes, I'm sure. The scorner has already gotten into your flock. Scripture is quite clear. You have to cast the scorner out. To cast out in the Hebrew here, it's a very forceful word. It means to drive out. How do you think a shepherd gets rid of a wolf? He's got a clever stick in his hand. He's going to break that wolf's leg if he tries to hurt the sheep. It's a forceful word. It means to drive out, to expatriate, to divorce. Get out of my life, out of this flock. To thrust the person out. Cast the scorner out. This is what it means. Drive, divorce, thrust out, expatriate. Expatriate is a person, is what you call a person who lives in a foreign country. In other words, you get him out of Lebanon County, boy. No, I mean, you don't chase them out of the house and home, but you're out of this group here. You are not permitted to inject your poisonous fangs into our congregation. According to Scripture, a scorner is not to be rebuked, Did you hear that? He is not to be rebuked. Don't waste your breath. Go straight for the stick and drive him out. He's not to be rebuked because he's an unteachable person. Now watch what the next scripture will tell you about a scorner. He's not to be rebuked because he's unteachable. You can pray for him. Oh yes, we need to pray. We pray for the lost world. I hope you do. But you must understand that only God. You know, you can't save yourself. I couldn't save me. The preacher never saved me. Jesus saved me. Only God can reach this type of individual. Because scorners are unteachable. By the way, we're wrapping up almost in a couple of minutes here. Because scorners are unteachable. I'm not wrapping up the whole seminar, just part one. Part two will be after lunch. Okay. Because they are unteachable, many times they hop from one church or group to another. They get caught out, so they fall out of favor with the leadership, so they hop to the next church. In one of my books, I call them Pentecostal grasshoppers or charismatic butterflies. I guess the grasshopper describes the guys and the butterflies the girls. Hop, hop, hop from one church group to the other when they get found out. In a large church, they will hop from one cell group to another within the same church. Proverbs 13:1 says, now why did we say scorners, don't waste your time rebuking them? It says, a scorner hears not rebuke. For the younger kids, you know, I used to teach school at a Christian school. There were a couple of kids, just exception, just a few. I mean, you could discipline, those were the good old days, even in Pennsylvania, when you were allowed to paddle a kid. Now our greasy grace has even infiltrated our churches and Christian schools. You ask my son, he doesn't obey me, he shall receive the Board of Education on his seat of learning. Now, of course, he's got to cross the line to get it, but he will get it if he needs it, and he knows it. Why did I say that? A scorner hears not rebuke. There's some kids, you know, whatever, you discipline them at home, or are you also terrified of Uncle Sam? You discipline your kid? Just a smirk, no tear. That's a scorning spirit. A scorner hears not rebuke. Like, you can whoop my butt, but I care two hoots about you and your authority. That's giving you a child's... Some kids are that way. Oh, if only we had a child. I mean, two of our nieces. The dad just looks at them, they go, boo! I said, oh Lord, why didn't you give us a child like that? Like, the problem is, he's got my genes, you see. You know what I'm talking about? That's in a child's example, but even adults. You can challenge them and they're like, you can go to Timbuktu for all I care. You wasted your breath addressing the person because a scorner is an unteachable person. He does not even want to hear rebuke. At least a teachable person would feel a little hurt and maybe cry and say, I'm sorry, and can you pray with me? Or even get mad. You know, it's like, and then they repent afterwards. But a scorner has got that smirk on their face. I'm not even listening to you because you are already off the... That's the spirit of a scorner. Proverbs 13:1, and here's Proverbs 9:7 to back it up. He that reproves a scorner, you to go and try and correct a scorner, gets to himself shame. It's like he's going to douse gasoline on you for going to him. He that reproves a scorner gets to himself shame. It's like, leave the rattlesnake alone. Let it stay in its hole under that rock. Don't put your hand in there, you get bitten. Reprove not a scorner, Proverbs 9:8, lest he hate you. And Proverbs 15:12 says, a scorner loves not the one who reproves him. Neither will he go to the wise. At least if he thought, well, I disagree with Pastor Ray, let me go to Mike and see, you know, somebody in the eldership. No, I will not receive. You guys are completely, your entire leadership is off the wall. You're as thick as thieves. You got the problem, not me. Oh, how can I stop at that point? Oh, I remember that Indonesian song. So this is the halfway point really for session one. And the words, four lines. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, up in heaven, we thank you. Now this is in Bahasa Indonesia, which is the language of the people of Indonesia. Okay? And it's usually at the end of a service. Bapa, terima kasih. Bapa, terima kasih. Bapa di dalam surga, ku beri terima kasih. Terima kasih means thank you. Thank you, Father, Bapa. Thank you. And Pastor Ed, I'm assuming it's just good to let them know by when they should be finished eating. So I don't know, I'll leave it to you as to what time we'll be getting back here. I'm done for this morning session. Thank you. And we'll pick up right from here in your notes. I think that's smack 2.5 pages I did just now, right? There's 2.5 pages to go. Perfect. Thank you. Blessings to you. I'll hand it over to you, Pastor Ed, to finish up.